John, the third chapter. We're going to be preaching from one of the most familiar portions of the Bible this morning, the third chapter of the book of John. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's word. Starting at verse number 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, We speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Let us pray. Father, again I thank you for your marvelous grace. Thank you for this wonderful, wonderful portion of Scripture. And Father, this preacher certainly needs your help today, needs your power, needs your wisdom. And Lord, we just need you here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Lord, above anything, we need you. We need you to do what needs to be done this morning in all of our hearts. And Father, we just ask that we allow you to do that. And I pray this morning, Father, should there be any here that's not saved, that's not come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, I certainly pray, Father, that they'll be saved here this day. Now we thank you for those who've come, who you've sent our way. Thank you, Father, and now your will be done in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to preach a message this morning, which I've entitled, Nicodemus Goes to Night School. You know, years ago, back in 1971, I had been preaching for approximately a year. I started to school up at IBC, Indiana Baptist College, up in Indianapolis, at the old Lifegate Church there, and I started going to night school. And it was quite a chore. We was of course, married, had all four of our children. I was working full-time. I was at that time pastoring a church, and I was trying to keep up with everything. It felt like God wanted me to go to school. About the only way I could do that was go to night school. So I began to go to night classes up in Indianapolis, living in Brazil, Indiana. Get off work right after I got off at whatever it was. Can't hardly remember. I think it was 4 o'clock as I remember now. It was over at Anaconda Aluminum Company. 4 o'clock. I would leave immediately from there. We'd take a shower, clean up there, and go over, meet some of the other ones that going. Dave Stone at that time was going. I know Brother Liffick went some to night school. My wife went to night school there for a while. But anyway, at the first, Brother Dave and I was driving together. And we'd go and meet, and we'd take off for Indianapolis to night school. And we did that three nights a week sometimes two nights a week. But anyway, we went to night school. We'd get in about midnight, and head back and go to bed, try to get up and go back to work. Now, I was trying to be a daddy, and I was trying to be a full-time worker, and I was trying to be a pastor, and all these other things that I was trying to be, and trying to be a good student, and all these things. But I went to night school. Now, I went there to learn some things because I knew that I needed to learn. Nicodemus went to night school also. I don't know whether you know it or not, but he didn't go for all the reasons that he found out he needed to go for. Nicodemus went to a school who the Lord Jesus Christ was the teacher. And he went by night more than likely because there was some fear of the Jews, and he was a ruler, the Bible says. He was a ruler of the Jews. He was a Pharisee. He was a supposedly spiritual leader. But there was a hunger in his heart that had never been filled. There was something there that just kept after him. Now, the reason I'm stressing that is this. If you're saved, you're born again today, you know that in your heart. You know there's been a time when you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And yet sometimes there's people who will go on for years and years, and there's a hunger there. They've been religious, like Nicodemus was religious. They was even to the place where it says a ruler of the Jews. Now, this was not just somebody out here that no one knew about. He was a literal ruler of the Jews. He was a Pharisee. And so I say to you, he still had a hungering in his heart. There was something wrong. And so Nicodemus, one night, came to the Lord Jesus Christ and began to ask him some questions. And he found out a whole lot more probably than he went to find out. But the Lord is certainly good at that. He gave him what he needed. And so this morning, I want to preach that Nicodemus goes to night school. And we want to look at some of the things that he learned when he come to the Lord Jesus Christ and come into his presence. And he learned some tremendous things, and hopefully, even though they may be what we would call just basic things, that it'll help you today to hear what Nicodemus learned and get it settled in your heart. Are you saved? Are you born again? If you died today, can you say with me right now, I know I would go to heaven, 100%. I know that. See, that's what we need to know. Nicodemus came to Jesus not knowing that. There was quite a hunger in his heart, you see. So he came to Jesus Christ, and he found someone who was absolutely willing to meet his need. Sometimes we go maybe to individuals or people or organizations or institutions and things like that, and sometimes we find that they're not always that helpful. Sometimes they try to give you a hard time. Marvelous thing, when we was moving and we went over, I called this lady from REMC, electrical company. Most of you know about these electrical companies, you know. And I began to ask her some questions. And I even told her on the phone, I said, you know what, you've been one of the most helpful ladies I've met in a long time. I mean, there was nothing she didn't try to help me with. She answered every one of my questions, and some of them was probably silly questions, but she answered them. She was helpful, kind, gracious. And she said, when you come over to pay your deposit, I thought she was so kind, maybe she wouldn't make me pay a deposit. But she didn't. She said, when you come over and make your deposit, said, I'll be here, and you just tell me who you are. I went over and made my deposit, talked to her again, so kind and gracious and helpful, that I told her that. I said, well, you've been so kind and gracious and helpful to someone who just needed it, and thank you for it. I thanked her for it, gave her my testimony, gave her a track, and besides all that. But what I'm simply saying is simply this. Not everybody is helpful. But boy, when you come to Jesus, I guarantee you find what you need. And Nicodemus came to one who absolutely wanted to help him. There was a hungering and a thirsting in the heart of Nicodemus. And let me say to you, just to start off, he certainly came to the right one, didn't he? He came to the one who could help that thirsting and that hungering in his soul. And I want to share with you this morning, if there's a hungering and a thirsting in your soul, the one that can meet that, the one can help you, is Jesus Christ. Amen. And in fact, he's the only one. Amen. There isn't any other that can meet it. I can point you to him. I can tell you who can do it. These other folk here could say, we can tell you who will help you, but it's Jesus that helps you. Amen. And he's the one. And so Nicodemus came that night to Jesus Christ, and he found someone who absolutely was interested in him, interested enough to tell him everything he needed to know and be the help that Nicodemus needed. Not only that night, when he went to school, he learned something else. He found out that Jesus Christ was much more than just a teacher. If you'll notice in verse number 2, it says, "And the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." Now Nicodemus understood some things. He understood all the miracles he was doing had to come from God. There was no one else could do that. It certainly had to be some power from God Almighty if he was doing all these things. But he still did not look at him past a teacher, as someone who was just could teach them and help them and point them along the way. But he found out something. He found out that Jesus Christ is much more than just a teacher. Jesus Christ is the way of salvation. Folks, there isn't any other way of salvation, none whatsoever. Jesus is it. Jesus is the truth. He found out that Jesus Christ told him the truth, and not only told him the truth, but is the truth. And he also found out that Jesus Christ is not, could not only show him how to get life, but he was life itself. And Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Not just some teacher that God sent to this earth to teach us some wonderful things. Well, I want to tell you, he's taught us some wonderful things. But he's more than just a teacher. He's the Son of God. He's God the Son. And he came to die for your sins and my sins. And Nicodemus that night found someone who was greater than just a teacher. For your salvation, folks, you need someone that's greater than a teacher. I can teach you, and glad to do that, and privileged to do that. Thankful that I have the privilege to teach and to preach the Word of God. What a privilege it is to do that. But I want to tell you something. You need someone that's greater than a teacher. You need Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who died for your sins. And Nicodemus learned something that night at night school. He learned that Jesus was much more than just some teacher that was sent our way. Not only that, Nicodemus learned also that that which is born of the flesh is flesh. Boy, that's a truth. You say, well, Brother Ross, that's simple. Yes, it's elementary, it's basic, but I want to tell you, a lot of folk having trouble with that today. I want you to know, he says in verse number 5, Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." And then listen to what he says. "That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again." Once again, I want to tell you, you can alter that old flesh of yours. You can do whatever you want. You can paint it up like some barn if you want to, but it's still flesh. I mean, you can dress it up in the fanciest clothes that you could ever buy on the face of this earth, but underneath those clothes is still old rotten flesh. Old decaying flesh. And that's what it is. That's what Jesus taught Nicodemus. You can do with that flesh what you want to, Nicodemus, but it's still just flesh. See, you was born of the flesh. You see, you can even get that old flesh to be religious. I mean, you can get that flesh to go to church services. You can get that flesh to put on a facade on the outside and act like it's the most religious thing there ever was. But the flesh is still flesh. And it needs something else. We'll talk about here in a minute. It's still just old flesh, no matter what you do with it, you see. We can try to reform it. We can try to change it. We can try to make it act right and do right and do the things it properly ought to do. Those are good things to do, but let us remember, flesh is still flesh. We can get to the place where we get it to the in some people's eyes where this flesh is respectable. I mean, some people look at some individuals and they respect them. Now, we're certainly to honor those whom honor is due, but they get up here in high positions and all at once they're supposed to be respected in the community. That's good that we respect them, but we must never forget that old flesh is still flesh. And that's one of the things that Nicodemus heard that night and probably understood for the first time. Nicodemus, what you have is just old flesh. You've been born in once by the flesh, and you're just flesh. And flesh shall never enter into the kingdom of God. There has to be something new happen to you. So Nicodemus, I think, for the first time saw himself as he is. It's important that you and I see ourselves as God sees us. Folks, thank God that He's given us life. Thank God He's given us this flesh. It's what we walk around in, all of those things. But it's corrupted. It's been corrupted since the Garden of Eden. And what we are is old corruption walking around, you see, waiting one of these days to die. My uncle passed away last Thursday evening. I'll be preaching his funeral tomorrow. And pray for him, if you will, as I preach my uncle's funeral. But I just wanted you to know something, folks. He was 86 years of age, and that old flesh come to a time when it just died. Amen? And yours will too. Nicodemus, Jesus was saying that which is born to the flesh is flesh. I think about my uncle, and I've two times here, not too lengthy time, I've had an opportunity to sit down with him and do everything I can to try to bring him to Christ. And he always tells me he's all right. He's depending on the flesh more than he's dependent on anything else. And he was always all right. Was he a good man? Well, basically, good man. Didn't go around doing anything wrong, hurting folk or anything like that. What I'm saying is, though, but his dependence basically was on the flesh. And I'm just simply saying to you, folk, it's sad when we depend upon the flesh to get us into God's heaven. Can't do it. Impossibility. Just impossible. You can't do it. What we are is just an old rotten flesh that's decaying. Amen? Purdy it up. Do what you want with it. And try to make it pretty, but it's still flesh. Amen? And Nicodemus learned that night, that's what I am. My righteousness is as old filthy rags. And that's what God tells us. You see, your righteousness, my righteousness, is nothing but old filthy rags in the eyes of God. We may have people convinced. We may have some people thinking we're A-okay. And boy, we're great people. But I want to tell you something. In the eyes of God, in ourselves, our righteousness is as filthy rags. Amen. And we need something greater than our righteousness, you see. Nicodemus heard and found out that night that old flesh is just still flesh, you see. Not only that, he learned that God's way of salvation is not reformation, it's regeneration. Now, folks, again, we've already talked about this, but if you'll notice there in those verses of Scripture, he simply told us, you must be born again. In other words, folks, you can reform yourself. I remember back as a boy, I grew up in a Christian church in Fillmore, Indiana. And I grew there. It was a big building, pretty good sized building, set right in the center of Fillmore, Indiana. Still sits there, you know. I went there on a fairly regular basis and grew up there, set through Sunday school classes, set through preaching services, and all had in my mind that I was one of these days, as long as I was a little bit better than I was bad, I'd go to heaven. That was the basic thing that I carried with me through my younger years. And basically, I tried to follow that. I don't mean that I did not do bad things, but I tried to be a decent person. I thought God would want me to be a decent person. And I do think God wants us to be a decent person, but not to get to heaven. Can't be done. And I kept thinking, as long as I would just do good and be decent, surely I would be all right and I would go to heaven. That was the teaching that I received. And that was what I was in my heart, you see. But I want to tell you something. It's not reformation. You can't reform yourself and turn over a new leaf and get prepared to meet God. That doesn't work that way. Now, by meeting God, let me tell you something. Usually he turns over some new leaves. When you meet God, and your life does change, but you don't get ready for heaven by turning over a new leaf. Nicodemus found that out. That was important for Nicodemus because the Bible says that Nicodemus was a Pharisee. He was one of the religious Pharisees, probably well known. He was a ruler of the Jews, well known in the community. He was a religious person. So I want to just squash that right now. You being religious not going to get you to heaven. Understand? Religion don't get you to heaven. You can be as religious as you want to be, and you won't get to heaven because you're religious. And Nicodemus that night found that out. He had tried, I'm sure, if you would look at Nicodemus' life, being a ruler of Jew, being a Pharisee, I'm sure if you look at his life, you'd have, the people of that day would have probably bragged on Nicodemus and said, man, this guy is an okay guy. He is top-notch. He's a leader in our community. He is all right. What he does, I'm going to tell you, he's a fine fella. I'm sure that's what they would have told you about Nicodemus. But did you realize, according to Scripture, Nicodemus was lost and on his way to hell? Amen? Lost and on his way to hell. Religion will not get you into heaven. Amen? Say, Brother Ross, that's basic. Yes, it is. But I want to tell you something. A lot of folk hung up on that thing. A lot of folk hung up on it. Religion's not going to get you into heaven, you see. And so Nicodemus that night, he learned something. All of that being what he was, a Pharisee, being a ruler of the Jews, as far as God's concerned, was not going to get him anywhere. And in fact, the next thing that he learned was this. It is absolutely imperative, if you're going to go to heaven, that you must be born again. Now, he said you must be. It ain't no maybe-so about it. It ain't no hopefully I'm ready for heaven. Hopefully there was a time when I got saved. Talking to someone on the phone this week, and a long distance to talk to him. Talking about, in fact, it was my aunt telling her how sorry I was about my uncle. And I talked to her and I said, now Selma, I said, you know God loves you. And I said, she always tells me she's saved. I don't know if she's saved or not. They don't have any testimony. I tell you, it's sad when people die and don't leave a testimony. Don't you die and leave a doubt whether you're God's child or not. And she said, I hope God loves me. She's 86 years old, bless her heart. She can't hardly do much anymore. I said, you hope God loves you? How many times has I sat and talked to you about how much Jesus loved you enough to die for you? Do you understand, folks? God does love us. It's not a hopeful thing, a hope-so thing. It's being born again. You're either a born again or you're not. There ain't no middle road. And Nicodemus found out that night something. He found out you must be born again. It's new birth. Amen? No, it's not the old improved. It's a new birth. It's a new creation. God born us into his family. We become a child of God. You see, and he said you must be born again. It's not you can be, or maybe you should be. You must be born again. There must be a time in your life when you look back, and not that you just was religious, not that you went to church once a while. No, that you know you was born into the family of God. Or you're not ready for heaven. Understand that? Nicodemus that night, Jesus taught him that. He said, you must be born again. If you aren't born again, you shall not see the kingdom of God. Look at it with me in the Word of God, verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, folks, this is the Word of God. Amen. What God says is true. Amen. So he says, if you're not born again, you will never see the kingdom of God. You cannot. Why? Because you've got to be born again to get into heaven. Amen? Now listen, Nicodemus found that out. Remember who he was. Was he religious? Oh, yes. Was he well known in the community? Oh, yes, he was a ruler of the Jews. He was all of those things that men look at and say, boy, that's an upstanding person. But he was lost. He wasn't saved. He must be born again. Nicodemus, if you're going to go to heaven, get ready to meet me, you're going to have to be born again. And so we find that that's a wonderful truth that Nicodemus learned. I say to you today, have you been born again? 100% sure you've been born again. Not join a church, not even get baptized. Those things are good. Not just because you've been a good person. Those things are good, but it won't get you to heaven. You must be born again. Amen? Now, is that what he says? That's Jesus speaking, telling Nicodemus, Nicodemus, you must be born again or you cannot see the kingdom of God. Amen? So Nicodemus learned that. And then, of course, Jesus never leaves us in just hanging there. He explained to Nicodemus how he could be born again. Amen? He wanted him to be born again, and Nicodemus was just getting ready to hear some of the most wonderful teachings that there ever is found in the Word of God about salvation. He said, Nicodemus, and I want you to go with me, he says in verse number 13, he says, no man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. He's speaking of himself. And he said, he came down. What did he come down for? He come down to pay the cost for you and I that you and I couldn't pay. And on the cross of Calvary, he paid that cost. He loved you and I so much, he paid it. And he was buried. He rose again. Now sits at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us and soon to come again. Amen. That's our Lord. But now listen to what he says. Nicodemus, he says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Listen to what he's saying. He's saying, we'll go back there to the book of Numbers, the 21st chapter of the book of Numbers. Moses and them was out here in the wilderness, and they was complaining and griping and carrying on. I mean, they just was griping about her. They said, this manna, this light bread type thing, he said, we've had enough of it. We're tired of it. We don't want it anymore. They was just a griping and complaining, you. And so God sent fiery serpents amongst them, and it began to bite them. And they began to die by the groves. Now listen, they began to die. And he said, so Moses went to God and said, what can we do? They're dying. He said, You take a pole, and on that pole, you put a serpent made out of brass. Told him to make it out of brass, and put that serpent up, and then lift it up so people can see. And of course, that pole represented the cross. That serpent represented sin. Brass in the Bible represents judgment. As it was lifted up, sin was being judged. And he told them, you look upon that. No, not just look with the physical eyes. Look upon it and believe, and you'll be healed. And multitudes of them were healed and did not die because they was willing to, by faith, look upon that which God had instructed Moses to make. What that represented was Jesus Christ being lifted up on the cross, sin there, being judged for you and I. Understand? Now, the same principle is there. He said in verse 14, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. He said, I must be lifted up. And listen to what he says, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. He said, if you just look at that, you'll look at me, you'll see me there on the cross, you'll understand I'm there dying, sin being judged for you. You'll look upon that and believe, he said, you won't perish. And then, of course, that wonderful verse of Scripture, verse 16, he said, who for God so loved the world, that's why he did it. Why did he go to the cross? Because God loved the world, you see. And he says that he gave his only begotten Son. He gave the great, wonderful Son of God, you see. And he says that whosoever believeth, in other words, same thing happened back in the wilderness. Whosoever would look upon that and believe, he said, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And he's saying to us today, Jesus Christ died for your sins. He loved you so much, he was lifted up. Sin was judged there on the cross of Calvary. And if you look upon me, not just with a physical eye, but if you look upon me in faith, believing that I died for your sin, I'll give you eternal life and you won't perish. Amen? What a wonderful, wonderful truth it is. Nicodemus that night learned something. He learned how to be saved. He realized for the first time, he understood he must look to Jesus. And all of his hope, all of his faith, everything must be in Christ. You see, man couldn't do it. It was Jesus dying there on the cross of Calvary for you and me. Now listen to what he says in verse 17. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. You say, Brother Ross, boy, I'm glad God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn it. Whew! Boy, that's been a terrible... Well, it's already... You see, we're going to read the next verse. It's already condemned. He said, I didn't have to come. Jesus didn't come to condemn the world. The world's already condemned. He said, I come so that he might be saved. Now, listen to what he says in verse 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned. See, if you have come to that saving faith, saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, put your faith and trust in him, there's a way to receive Jesus Christ as personal Savior. Look to him. There on the cross, he died, he was buried, he rose again. He did it for you, he did it for me, you see, so that we could not then have to be condemned, but that we would have eternal life. What a marvelous truth it is. Nicodemus that night learned how to be saved. Now I'm saying to you this morning, are you saved? Now don't play games. Don't say I think so, hope so. Don't do that. Know in your heart for sure if there's a time in your life when you trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You put your faith, your trust in Him. You was born again, given that new nature, as the Word of God says. A new creation. Amen. Has there been that time in your life when you know for sure you've been saved, born into God's family? Nicodemus had not. Religious, important in the community, but unsaved, not born again. Thank God he did get saved. Yes, we know that by later testimony. Came with Joseph and received the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that. But he learned that night at night school how to be saved, how to be born again. Now, we need to learn from Nicodemus. And we need to learn also that what we need to do is receive Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Now I say to you today, will you just listen very closely? I'm not going to keep you much longer. Would you just listen? Are you saved? Are you ready for heaven? I didn't say all of those other things. Are you ready for heaven? If you died, where would you go? Amen. Are you ready? Have you been born again? It's a must. It's the new birth. You must be born again. Now I ask you to ask yourself that question as we bow our heads, close our eyes. I want you to listen very closely. Let God look into your heart. Now don't pay any attention to anybody else around you. Just you for a moment. Look into your own heart. Let God deal with you and answer this question. If I died right now, am I 100% sure I'd go to heaven? I know I've been born again. Say, Brother Ross, I'm sure of that. Would you just raise your hand? I'm sure I'm saved. Raise your hand and you put it right back down. Thank you very much. You say, Brother Ross, I am not sure that I am saved. And no one's trying to embarrass you. Honestly, no one's going to put you on the spot. I just want you to indicate this for your sake and say, Brother Ross, I'm concerned about this. I don't know for sure I'm saved. If I died right now, I do not know for sure I'd go to heaven, and I'm concerned about it. Would you just raise your hand, please? Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Anyone else? Someone else? I'm just not sure. And I'm concerned about that. Anyone else, please? Heavenly Father, I certainly thank you so much for the marvelous grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Your grace, your mercy is greater than anything we can even imagine. I thank you for the salvation you've provided for us in sending thy Son, for him coming willingly dying on the cross, that we might ourselves have our sins paid for, Lord, that we might go to heaven and spend eternity with thee. And Father, those that raised their hand concerning not sure of salvation, please, Father, help them today to make that stand, make that commitment, make them step forward. Lord, help them to do that, that they might just at this day receive Jesus Christ as their Savior, putting all of these things behind them. Not sure is not good enough. Oh, God, help them, please, to make that decision for Jesus today. We'll thank and praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.